Miracles are one of those things in the Bible that to this very day are very misunderstood indeed. You will meet some extreme groups who will claim that there are those in leadership in their assembly that can perform a miracle for you, person. I just want to say to you at the outset tonight, you don't buy that at all. No one can help you if you need a miracle, only the Lord. And whatever happens, remember this, that miracles belong to him and something else. The Lord Jesus did perform miracles, and people ridiculed him and they criticized him. They behaved in a hypocritical way because they would feed their animals on the Lord's day, and yet they seemed to be saying that the need of human beings was less important than that. And of course, he was able to outflank them in every argument that they put forth before him. And regarding his miracles, they are recorded in his word to show us that the Lord is able to do what we cannot do. Now, we need to understand that the Lord Jesus never performed a miracle unless it was necessary. If people could do something for themselves, then that was what we call human responsibility. And man, being a responsible creature, right to this day, has to do what he can. God has provided, whenever we think of the area of sickness, God has provided doctors and nurses, and he's given intelligence in order that in very many cases today, people are able to be helped and sometimes greatly helped with their sickness. But we know that sometimes when doctors and physicians have done all that they can, sometimes the medication and the surgery hasn't worked. And in a time like that, you and I can pray that God would, if it would please him, that he would answer prayer and that he would do in the life of our loved ones or our friends or people we know, he would do what we cannot do. They've been to the doctor, they've done all that they could, and now we're just handing it over to the Lord. And sometimes God has done most remarkable things for individuals. And we believe that he still is the God of miracles. Because not only did he perform miracles concerning sick people, but every time a sinner comes and trusts the Lord and is brought from nature's darkness into the light and liberty of the gospel and is made a new creature in Christ, and there is that renewing of his mind, and his will that was biased towards sin is now toward God, and he's changed. That's a miracle. If you're not saved tonight, you need to understand that, because I can only do so much, and that is the preaching of the word. And after that, it is the Lord that must save you. So we're thinking here of miracles and how the Lord performs them whenever they are necessary. And it brings me to this passage regarding this unfortunate individual lady. And the title that I've given tonight to the message is a very short one. It is Straightened Out. Straightened Out. And as I draw your attention to this passage, we learn lessons from it that ought to challenge our hearts if we don't know the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, then, we're going to really ask three questions as we look at Straightened Out. I want you to see, first of all, here, and to look at this question with me: was there a miracle required? Well, the text tonight that we've read together shows to us that this lady was greatly stooped over. She had a big problem as far as walking was concerned, and certainly walking like all the other individuals around her. Now, if you look at the scale of the problem, it says in verse 11 And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. There are some aspects regarding the scale of the problem that I want to mention to you. Just there was her back. It says there that she was bowed together. Now, in the original language here, the bowed together is a phrase that is found nowhere else in the New Testament. It is, again, in the original, in the Greek language, it is a medical word. And it is a word that was used to describe the curvature of the spine. The curvature of the spine. And this woman, remember Luke, who gave us his gospel, Luke was a physician, so he knew what he was talking about. And she would not, by her very best efforts, be able to straighten herself up. When I went to Killigamine School, the junior high school, a lot of the time I did behave fairly well. Sometimes I didn't, and I don't want you young people seeking to be anything like me, but most of you who know me best know that I didn't behave well all the time. And there was one day that myself and another fella who'd originally come from England called Stuart Young, we went along to down to the bottom end of the school, and there were windows that were quite high, but one of them was open. And instead of going around to where the door was, we threw our school bags in through the window, and I think I gave him a leg up first of all, and then he pulled me up in through the window, and we thought we were the lads. And we were in there, and we didn't go near the door like anybody else. And as soon as we lifted our bags and turned around like that, we walked straight into Mr. Mahaffey. Now, he was about 6'6". He was a PE teacher. He played rugby. He had really broad shoulders. And we just bumped into him like that and looked at him like that. He got both of us by the back of the neck and held our faces together. And I was wearing glasses at the time. And he said, "Salt, only for the fact that you're wearing glasses, I would smash both of your faces together." And I was starting to imagine the glass stuck in the face and all. And, you know, and he said to us, "You two boys need straightened out. You need straightened out." And many of you tonight, as I have used that illustration, will understand what we talk about when we say that someone needed straightened out. We did. You've heard about even other instances in people's lives where they've been behaving in such a way, and you would say, "Well, she would really need to straighten herself out. Or he would need to be straightened out." It really refers to a straightening out of that which is not straight. A straightening out of that which, in effect, is crooked. And men and women in our natural state, we are crooked. In our natural state, we need to be straightened out, because being born in sin, sin hasn't stopped, you see, as we start to grow up into adulthood and get a little bit older, because it's always constantly working and constantly growing and constantly dominating our lives more and more. Over there in the book of Proverbs in chapter 11, it says there in verse 3, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." It says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." You'll see there's contrast here right through these verses. "The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness." Verse 3, there is no blessing here. "The perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God, and therefore we're all in the guilty camp. And there's no blessing there. And in verse 4, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath," there's no benefit there. In verse 5, it says, "The wicked shall fall by his own wickedness." There's no blaming there either. And God looks down upon the meeting tonight and he sees us just as we are. We cannot lay the blame at anyone else's door. We're born sinners, and there is that in us which we cannot straighten out. We cannot straighten it out. It has a deep root and it's called sin. But there was not only here the problem with her back. There was obviously a problem here with instability. Her condition was so severe that she did not have strength to straighten up. If you look again in verse 11, it says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, which was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." She could in no wise lift up herself. How often here in the pulpit we have relayed to you something of the various stories that we've heard and individuals we've talked to who've been trying their best to work their way to acceptance with God, and through what they do to somehow or other merit favor with God, who cannot show favor unless there is repentance unto life. And there was that instability with her because she was able to do nothing to help herself. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 5, I'll just read to you what it says there in the verse 21. It says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." It's good to remember that tonight. The Lord sees you just as you are. It's great to be in church. There's nowhere else on earth we'd rather be this evening. And we trust that you will be feeling that way too. But you know the Lord, the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. It says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sins." The thought there is of being captive. In other words, of needing to be loosed, and that was the experience with this woman regarding her physical situation. She had that spirit of infirmity. She was in bondage to this situation, and she could do nothing to help herself. That is where you are tonight. And you know, sin, because of the instability that sin brings to our lives, it brings us into all kinds of unfortunate and sometimes heartbreaking situations. Because sin is more than we can handle. It is not something to play with, but it is something that plays with us. It says over there, in the book of Proverbs again, it's chapter 14. Book of Proverbs chapter 14. Just give me a second there. Chapter 14, verse 12. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I asked you tonight, what is your way? You in that way that seems right unto man. And yet as you look into your heart of hearts tonight, you have to say that the scale of my problem is great. There is that in me which I can't straighten out. It's called sin. Listen, men and women, it won't be straightened out by you or by me. This sin brings great instability to our lives. But if you look there, it says also in verse 11, it was a spirit of infirmity. This was actually quite a mysterious derangement of the nervous system. And we've read a whole lot of commentators on it, and many of them agree that it was a derangement of the nervous system, and it had its rise in the mind. There was a doctor, Macmillan, who said that this was to do with emotional tension in the mind that can produce a striking visible change. And therefore, we have this lady whose curvature of her spine, it had become more and more and more curved as time went on. And dear unsafe person, with respect tonight, that is what sin is doing to you. It did it to me for long enough. Good to see the young people here in the meeting tonight. And these young girls, I don't know what age they are, but when I was there that young, I wasn't found in meetings. Maybe out on a Sunday morning in Dungan Free Presbyterian Church. The weekend would have been generally in the nightclub. You see, sin, it has more and more of an effect upon us. What I'm saying to you tonight is that as far as you and an individual is concerned, sin is busy. It says in Romans chapter 7 in the verse 23 there, and this is just an illustration. The Apostle Paul was speaking of the struggle he had. He was a Christian at this time, but it gives us something of the power of sin. It says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. And if you're not converted tonight, you cannot battle this sin because you're not indwelt by the Spirit of God as Paul was. And she has no strength here. She's not able to do anything for herself. Didn't the apostle know exactly, or God the Holy Spirit knew what we needed to hear when in Romans 5 and 6, it's when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet without strength, he died for the ungodly. And I wonder tonight overall, as you look at your case, you don't need to say anything, but you do need to look at your heart. And you consider what we've already noticed in this woman. There was a situation where their back, she was bowed together. She had great instability in her life. There was that spirit of infirmity, that which was bowing her over more and more as time went on. Is this not a picture? Well, a picture of you, if you're not saying it. And a picture of what sin is doing with you tonight. What is the problem? Perhaps you've came and listened to the gospel before. Well, Paul, again in writing to the church at Corinth, laid out the problem in plain terms. He said in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians in verse 4, speaking of those who were not saved, he said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This verse shows us the ruthlessness of Satan. How many years has he blinded your eyes for? One of the saddest things for me is whenever we're at a funeral service and you're out there, maybe in the churchyard, and you're around the grave doing whatever we have to do, and you look around, and usually there are quite a number of people about there who are well stricken in years. And very often the thought crosses our mind in those occasions. How many years, how many decades have their minds been blinded for? 8 decades? Some cases more than that. The ruthlessness of Satan. But there's a realization here. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine into them. The devil doesn't want the light to reach you tonight. I wonder what's in your mind, what's occupying your mind just this evening. But notice here also that this was a dominating factor in her life. Verse 11 again. She'd had this spirit of infirmity for a very long time, for 18 years, and each year the suffering surely increased as time went on. And men and women, what has sin ever done to bring you any real satisfaction? Over there in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's chapter 8, and the verse, chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes, and verse 11. Here's a thought. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. People sin and think, I've got away with that. Nobody knows. Maybe only a few know about it. Maybe nobody at all knows about it, but it doesn't seem that anything has changed. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And you know it is an evil thing to constantly reject the Lord. To continually walk out of the meeting without him. You think of all of the handicap that this situation brought to this woman. It restricted her. It took joy away from her life. It ruined many of the things that other people were able to be involved in. And that's what sin does for men and women. Someone rightly said that sin fascinates for a wee while and then it assassinates. Because the Bible says that sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. So in what we said tonight already, we've been building up a pretty grim picture of how it was with this woman. Was a miracle required? She was all bent over, couldn't straighten out. Instability in her life. Spirit of infirmity that was affecting her more and more as time went on. This had been the case for years, so it was a dominating factor now in her life and therefore in her mind. But notice this, notice where she was. If you look there again in the verses, you will see that she was where the Lord was. She was in the right place. If ever anything was going to be changed for her, she certainly was in the right place for that change to take place. And again this evening, before the Lord, who knows all of our hearts, as I ask the question, was a miracle required for her? I have to say, certainly it was. Because there's nothing else that would have dealt with the very extreme situation that was part and parcel of her life. Sin had disfigured her. Sin had brought hardship. And it looks like everything was out of control. And men and women this evening, here's the question that you need to answer. Do you require this miracle of the Lord's intervention? Would you be honest enough tonight to say with yourself, I'm not straightened out because I can't straighten myself and I can't deal with my sin. It has brought great instability to my life. It is something that I can look back over the years and say, yes, it is more of a hold on me than it had 10 years ago. It's a dominating factor in everything that I do. And yes, Reverend Saul, I require a miracle. You need straightened out. You need straightened out tonight. But I want to say to you that if that is the case with you, because you're in the right place because Jesus is passing this way. Of course, you can't be saved out anywhere. But God in his providence has brought you along to a gospel meeting. You listen to the lady singing. You listen to the word being read, and now you're listening to preaching that is describing for you the awfulness of sin and the way out of sin. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he seeks about all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't it wonderful how we always think about things first? But seek ye first. That's what you need to do. You seek him tonight, and you will be found of him. Straightened out. First question, was a miracle required? Yes, it was. The next question is this. Was real change really possible? Well, you can look at the verses there yourself. It says there in verse 12 of this, or sorry, verse, let's see where we are here. Yes, verse, if you look at the verses there, Jesus, verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Notice there, if you would, that he saw her. Maybe in all your years you haven't really thought of looking to the Lord very much. But I want to encourage you tonight, unsaved person, he sees you. And very often in the Bible, when we read the expression of Christ seeing someone, it is more than just like me looking at you. The thought is of compassion. Of seeing with great compassion. Do you remember when it says that he saw the multitudes? Remember in the harvest scene? He saw the multitudes. The thought again behind the word there is of seeing with and being actually moved with compassion. And maybe at this moment in time you're thinking of all the things and you're adding them up, all of the things that you've done, and maybe you were worse than I was. And you're thinking of how could you ever be reconciled to God? Well, I want to say that as Christ looks upon you with compassion tonight and sees you just as you are, everything can change. When I was in the Whitfield College of the Bible, we went down one night. Where, at that stage, there was a meeting on Saturday nights in Guildford Church called The Flame. And we were doing a panel or something in it one night. And we also went down afterwards to do outreach at a nightclub called The Coach in Banbridge. I remember standing there. I can't remember if I was preaching or giving my testimony, but this young lady, about 18, came up and was just standing here shouting profanities into my face. And I just kept on talking. I didn't shout at her or anything like that or argue with her. And it got into sort of, when I didn't do anything, she sort of pulled back a wee bit. I think she felt, I don't know what she felt, but she sort of backed off. And then she went on ahead into the nightclub. And, you know, we were there with the gospel, but when I was about 18, I used to be in there. I wasn't on the outside, I was on the inside. Because the Lord Jesus looked upon me with compassion. And he called to me. Because not only did he see her here, it says in that verse 12 that he called her to him. Christian, you're glad tonight you can remember that time when the Lord called you to him. Just like me. Sinner, he can call you tonight. To himself. In fact, he's calling to you now. It says there in verse, one of the verses, is verse 13, that he laid hands on her. This, the thought here is of blessing. But he's announced in verse 12 that she has loosed. She has loosed from her infirmity. What a blessing for her. 18 years bent over, getting worse every year. Nothing she could do to change things. Looking down at the earth all the time. And the sinner hears that effectual call of God. And embraces him as he's freely offered in the gospel. The Bible says concerning Christ that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was me and that is you. He sees the unconverted just as they are. He calls in the gospel. And if you will come, you will be loosed. You'll be freed from the bondage of your sin. The Bible says that if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What a transformation. For this woman, you will see here concerning her that the bondage was broken and she's not looking down at the earth anymore. She's looking up. She's looking up. So we asked the question tonight, was real change really possible for her? Well, it was. Because Jesus saw her just as he was. He called to her, he laid hands on her, which was indicative of blessing, and he loosed her from her infirmity. Now it's over to you. Is real change possible for you? You need to take all of your sin, ladies and gentlemen, and set it to one side. And don't be thinking about it and dwelling upon how you're going to deal with this situation and that if you come to know the Lord. We're dealing with something more important than what anyone on earth thinks. This is with the salvation of your soul and eternal matters. Is change really possible? Christ, I believe with all my heart, is still compassionate tonight. We still believe that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He still calls men and women to himself. You love the verse where it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven." Children come to the Lord, they don't know a lot of theology, but they know how to ask the Lord into their heart. Friend, all you need to know tonight is that you're a sinner. Christ died for you and he can save you. If you will come and you will trust him. You see here that this woman was, it says there that she was made straight. She was made straight. We've had people here before who've told the story. There was one man in a men's meeting, and he was able to tell that his life was such a mess that when he came to the Lord and got saved, people didn't really believe it. The gospel mission that had been very poorly attended, before the mission was over, he was to give his testimony, and over 100 in that night. Why did they come along? Because they wanted to see if a real change was possible. And men and women, this change that we're talking about is possible for you tonight. You can know this change. It was immediate and it was available. And so is God's salvation tonight. So the first question is, in being straightened out, first question we asked, was a miracle required? It was, and it is. Was real change definitely possible? It was, and it is. But was there something here that happened that would be seen? Well, it says there, if you look at the verse again, it says, "And glorified God." And glorified God. And the others went on to criticize the Lord because they knew that she had been healed. The hymn writer said, "What a wonderful change has been wrought in my life since Jesus came into my heart." She had a testimony. Just like Rahab the harlot that we mentioned this morning in the course of her message. Just like Lydia, whose heart the Lord had to open. She was good living, but that's all. Was there something that could be noticed? Yes, there was. She had a new faith. She was in a new family. She's now in God's family. And she had a new future. And men and women, at the end of the meeting, we just say, that's what you can have. I said respectfully tonight, but if you're not saved, you need straightened out. And only the Lord can straighten you out. Religion will make you worse. If it's religion without Christ, you can have all the services and all the coming together in the world. But if you don't have Christ, you're still in your sin. But Christ can straighten you out tonight and give you a new life, a new faith, a new family, and a new future. But you must ask yourself the question, do I need straightened out? Well, there's any amount of us in the meeting tonight who can talk to you and tell you how the Lord straightened us out and what he's done for us. He can do for you. Someone said the words long ago, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. May the Lord bless his word, your heart tonight, and to